D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
Well, if we're going to reclaim America, how are we going to do it? Well, I think the scriptures are very explicit.
GLAAD Right-Wing Watch found out that the Benham brothers were going to be on HGTV, and they were not going to have that.
This is Truths That Transform.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Truths That Transform, a viewer-supported program. I am Frank Wright, president of D. James Kennedy Ministries, and I hope you'll visit our ministry website, which contains a wealth of video, audio, digital, and print resources, all from a biblical perspective. It's available at djameskennedy.org. In recent years, there has been a sea change in our nation. In 2015, the Supreme Court declared same-sex marriage to be a constitutional right, rewriting the Constitution itself after hundreds of years and overturning millennia of human history. As a result, one woman found herself on the front line of the emerging battle between the new politically correct orthodoxy and the traditional values held by millions of Americans. Kim Davis, a court clerk in Kentucky, refused to issue same-sex marriage licenses based on her Christian convictions, and she went to jail for that resolve. I recently had a chance to sit down and talk with Kim Davis. Well, Kim, thanks for joining us today. We're delighted to have you with us.
Well, thank you. It's an honor.
Now, you can testify that it's not easy to stand for Christ in a public way, is it?
No, it's not easy. It's not pleasant sometimes. But, you know, I have to count it all a blessing and to be very thankful that God chose me. You know, that's a great honor in itself, mm-hmm. to be able to stand on His Word, for His Word, and just to exhibit love and through all of it. It wasn't an easy year, you know. It was filled with death threats and not just on my home, my family, myself, my workers.
The people of Kentucky had a chance to vote on same-sex marriage, didn't they?
They did in 2004.
And what was the outcome of that referendum?
The referendum vote was about 74% in favor of defining marriage as between one man and one woman. And then the remaining portion was that it could be whatever. They spoke
loud and clear.
Yes, sir.
Loud and clear.
Yes.
But we live in a day when the Supreme Court thinks it can overrule the voice of the people.
Yes, and that's sad.
When the Supreme Court ruled, it was ruling on a case that came up through particular circuits to the court. And legally, its decision only affected the circuits affected by that, right? But even so, the Supreme Court, in overturning a law, doesn't make new law.
Exactly.
And you were left in a position where if we just agree that the Supreme Court had the authority to do what it did, it struck down a law, you were left without a law to enforce. You were left without clear guidance. And so it was totally unjust for them to argue that you were violating the law in that the Supreme Court has no authority to make law. They can strike down a law but not make it. Is that how you saw it?
Exactly, and we had made that point many times. My office is mandated through statutes, and those statutes had not been addressed. Actually, the statute still remains that it is illegal for a county clerk to issue a license to a couple of the same sex. That's not been amended. That's not been ratified or turned down or anything like that. So all those statutes are now being addressed with the new bills that are being presented on the Senate and the House floor. So, I was upholding my law.
I was upholing my law.
I was obeying my law. And that's what people failed. You know, I had couples bring in the whole Supreme Court ruling, and I said, you know, I really don't need to see this because that's not a law, that's a ruling. And, well, why won't you do this? And so then I go to the Bible and I tell them, don't be telling me the Bible. Don't be reading me the Bible. I said, well, you asked why I couldn't issue you the marriage license. And I'm explaining to you and I'm showing you why I cannot. You know, they didn't want to hear that, though. They wanted to shove that paper down my throat and make me eat it for my dinner, you know.
We Christians sometimes tend to succumb to a cultural idea that victory is determined by the outcome that we see. But if you stood for Christ and the outcome were still not good, you still stood for Christ. I think would you agree that we may be heading into some days where people have to be willing to stand? Whether the outcome is knowable or is good or not. There's a standing for truth, right?
Most definitely, regardless of, and that's what I told the Lord. I said, Lord, you know, regardless of the outcome of this, know that I have loved and I have stood and I have withstood. And it's all for your glory.
Yeah.
You know, it was all for His glory. This was not something that I sought, because I'm a very private person, and definitely not someone that would want attention, because, you know, I knew what attention would bring. It would bring up my past. It would bring up my failures and my faults and everything. But, you know, God was so good to me, so just gracious in all His ways. So regardless, you know, if I was prepared to sit in jail as long as I needed to, because I had weighed the cost. You know, I knew what was at stake. And it wasn't just for me, but it was for my fellow clerks. It was for every clerk that was across this nation, for every person that lives and breathes and loves God and believes in His Word and wants to stand up for His Word, you know, to be an encouragement.
I have a lot of friends who are ministers of the gospel, and they'll use the same phrase, always be ready to pray, preach, or perish for Christ. And not many of us have to perish yet. Many have. Many of our brothers and sisters in Christ are, even now. But we always have to be willing to stand and pray that God would be glorified and proclaim His truth. And you did that in a way that encouraged so many of us. We're so grateful to you for being a woman who said, Lord, here am I, use me, and you're a hero to many. We're very grateful for you and want to thank you.
Thank you.
It seems that the logical question to ask in the wake of what happened to Kim Davis is, where are all the other Christian magistrates? Sadly, many have accepted the marginalizing of their Christian beliefs just as the secular society has called for. They've bought into the pervasive myth that religious beliefs are private and are only exercised at home or in the church. Dr. D. James Kennedy harbored no such illusions and talked often about reclaiming America for Christ. Note well that he did not say reclaiming America for Christians, but that this nation, founded upon Christian principles, must repent of its folly, turn and be healed. Yet even those words are enough to raise the hackles of a million secular activists and more than a few Christians who've waved the flag of surrender. That's why it's more important than ever that we share with you a portion of Dr. Kennedy's vital message, Reclaiming America for Christ.
Well, if we're going to reclaim America, how are we going to do it? Well, I think the scriptures are very explicit. I've said it before, I'll say it again, that there are two things that need to be done. Interestingly, they are the first and the last commandment that God gave us. The first one, called the cultural mandate in Genesis 1:28, says that we are to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, and that we are to have dominion over all things. As the vicegerents of God, we are to bring His teaching to every sphere of society, not only the individual and the family, but the parents and the schools and the government and the arts and everything which God has something to say about. And this is my Father's world. I rejoice me in the thought. Well, we should be bringing His truth to bear on all of those spheres. If we don't, then they're going to do something else, and that something else is the problem that we're in today. Because we fail to fulfill that cultural mandate. We fail to be involved. 20 years ago, one study showed that 50% of evangelical Christians weren't even registered to vote. For you as a Christian American citizen to fail to register and vote is a sin against God. Now, how do I know that? Well, what is a sin? Well, most Americans don't even know that, so no wonder they don't know that's a sin. But a sin is any failure to do that which God has commanded us to do, or any doing of those things which He has commanded us not to do. God has commanded us to render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar, which at the very least in a democratic republic means that we exercise our franchise, we register and vote at the very lowest level. So, dear friend, I hope that you will, if not registered, you will, you know what you need to do? If you're not registered and you haven't been voting, you need to repent. That's what you need to do. And get yourself down and get registered, get informed, and vote. And I hope that you'll become active in our society. And not only voting, I hope that you'll become involved in our libraries and in our schools and our parental associations and in all phases of the culture in which you live. Otherwise, views that are antithetical to that which God has taught us in His Word will prevail, as they do prevail today, not only in education and in the media and in entertainment, but also in government as well. And we need to do something about that, which if we had been doing, would have radically changed things. Let me say that ultimately, all that we can do in our society is not going to change human hearts. It is going to remove the obstacles that the ungodly have brought in to oppose that changing of human hearts, because that is exactly what Satan wants to do. He will fight in every way possible to impede the progress of the gospel of Christ. Human nature cannot be changed by legislation. It can only be changed by the Spirit and gospel of Christ. We need to get government out of the way in order that the gospel may go forth unimpeded today. And that's the other rail of the church train. Not only the Great Commission, the cultural mandate rather, but also the Great Commission, which is to share the gospel, to preach the gospel as to every creature. Are you proclaiming the good tidings to people in this nation? If all of the Christians in America simply led one person to Christ this year, this nation would once again be overwhelmingly Christian, and most all of the problems of society would vanish like snow before the rising sun. That's the reason for the problems of America, and that is the answer to the solution to those problems. To become involved in our culture and to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. If Christians would do those two things, this nation and this world would be transformed almost overnight. It would be glorious. Will you do it? Dear friend, these are the commands of Christ. His first command, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. His last command, go and preach the gospel to every creature. Are you living in silent rebellion to that day after day, year after year? The problems of this country are due to that rebellion. Judgment must begin at the house of God.
It is a sad reality that in the current atmosphere, many Christians have let their faith be pushed aside for fear of social pressure, disapproval, or even job loss. But thankfully, there are still Christians who are standing up for their faith no matter what the cost. Among them are the Benham brothers, who gave up a lucrative TV program in order to stand firm on their Christian convictions. Our own Jerry Newcomb has more.
We were professional baseball players. We ended up quitting in the minor leagues. We knew that we weren't on fast track to the big leagues. And so we had to die to that dream of making it into the big leagues. And that was a tough thing to do. But when we died to that dream, we had to get out and start working. And in the process of working and applying biblical principles to our life and our work, we became very successful, sitting on 13 companies now worldwide. God blessed us so abundantly.
In December of 2012, after we had built a real estate company to 100 offices across 35 states, Jason and I had led a prayer service in Charlotte the night before the Democratic National Convention. 9,000 Christians showed up. And in the December of 12, a production company reached out to us and said, hey, we saw you on video and online doing some preaching and stuff, and would you guys be interested in reality television? At first we thought it was a catch. It wasn't. They took a 3-minute sizzle clip of us and took it out to Los Angeles. 5 networks were interested in our show. Then HGTV came in and said, whoa, hold on a second. We're going to bypass a pilot. We're going to give these guys 6 1-hour episodes straight to TV, set to air in the fall of 2014. So in the spring of 2013, we started. They sent us the long-form contract. Before we signed, HG did all their background checks, and they saw us at that prayer service. And they saw some things that we had talked about, pro-life, pro-marriage, and other things. And so HG then reached out to us and said, hey, listen, we just want to make sure you're not anti-gay. And we said, you know who we are. By this time, it had been about 8 months into the process. And we met with them in person, and they said, you know what? We really like you guys. We want to have you on our network.
Things were looking up for the Benham brothers, and HGTV announced publicly news of the upcoming show, Flip It Forward, which the channel announced and advertised in their upcoming program lineup.
When they did that, Glad and Right Wing Watch found out that the Benham brothers were going to be on HGTV, and they were not going to have that. So they reached out to HGTV, and we write about this in our book. We talk about there's about a week-long period of time where we had conversations back and forth with HGTV, basically stating, listen, we've sold 20,000 houses in Charlotte, North Carolina. We don't discriminate against anybody. This whole non-discrimination thing's just a straw man. But there's a narrative that they're going to try and create about the two of us to make us as haters, and we're not haters. And HGTV said, we know that. We like you guys. You're going to be stars on our network. Well, then Right Wing Watch created a story, a new narrative on the Benham brothers, and some of the things that they said, and they took our comments out of context and grabbed comments from some other leaders and slapped them on us and really made us look pretty bad. Then they mobilized their activist base and just pounded HGTV's Facebook page. And it was at that moment that HG said, oh, whoa, we weren't expecting that. And then they had to call us and fire us.
It's interesting that the very thing that attracted HGTV to us is what got us fired. It was our biblical faith. And the way that that worked out in the business world is what made us as successful as we are. We had the same exact beliefs when we were 12 years old that we have today. And at one point, HG liked us so much that they offered us a reality show.
The essence of the accusation against David and Jason Benham is that they were bigots and haters. Why? Because they believe in traditional marriage, that is, one man and one woman, and they voice that opinion at a public prayer rally. That's it. So in today's politically correct milieu, believing such a thing and expressing such beliefs can get you fired.
We live in a free country, and HGTV has the right to hire and fire whoever they want. We're not victims here, and if they say we tend more toward the gay crowd than the straight crowd, well, so be it.
It just begins with Christian business owners.
It targeted the church. And it's not just a person. It's an agenda, which is an idea that has come directly from the devil himself. Jesus comes to bring life. Satan comes to rob, to kill, and to destroy life.
We have zero regrets whatsoever. When we look back at some of the clips, I actually don't even remember saying a lot of that stuff. And that's just proof that the Holy Spirit did the talking.
We should be praying for these people that are writing bad articles about us and persecuting us and falsely accusing us, because that's what Jesus said we're supposed to. Bless those who persecute you. Do good to those that hate you.
While I can't judge someone's intentions or motives or anything like that, I can say that what we have seen is there's a trend in our culture today, especially in churches today, where we're far more concerned about relevance to the culture than we are reverence to God.
So after we got fired, there were five networks that originally were interested in us, but we realized that our image had gone toxic. But Jason and I, we recognize that God is not looking for successful Christians. He's just looking for faithful Christians. And at the end of the day, Jason, we just want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. With or without a reality show, we want to faithfully serve the Lord. I mean, it would be nice if we were on reality television, but that's nothing that we're seeking. We are seeking to simply be faithful where God has put us and to stand square on His truth and to love others into the kingdom.
As you've seen on today's program, the fact is the so-called tolerant left wants to shut down opposing viewpoints. And they will go to great lengths to make sure that happens, levying legal, economic, and other penalties they can think of. It's really nothing new, however. For decades in America, secularists have used the threat of government intimidation to silence Christian viewpoints. Well, it's now time to put a stop to that once and for all. My good friend Jennifer Kennedy Cassidy is here to share with us exactly how we can do that. Jennifer, welcome.
Thank you, Frank. It was the intention of America's founders that churches and preachers be able to say whatever their consciences dictated. Churches have been exempt from taxation since the beginning because the church doesn't exist at the pleasure of the state. It's a freestanding institution that can rebuke even the government from God's word when necessary. But beginning with then House Speaker LBJ in the 1950s, the IRS has been used as a weapon to keep churches silent. The implicit threat is that pastors had better remain silent on political issues or risk losing their church's tax exemptions. This threat cuts completely against the spirit of the First Amendment, and it's time to get rid of the so-called Johnson Amendment and return to the free exercise of religion in America. We've put together a petition calling upon our leaders in Congress to do just that. This urgent petition asks them to support the Houses of Worship Free Speech Restoration Act. The bill that's been proposed would protect churches from harassment and silencing by the IRS. Please contact us to get your petitions to your senator and representative, sign them, and return them right away. Make your voice heard and stand for true freedom of religion. Simply write to us at Box 6084, Albert Lea, Minnesota 56007, or call toll free 877-962-7677, or go online at djameskennedy.org. And please consider giving a generous donation to help us with the ongoing work of this ministry. If you're able to give a generous donation, we will send you the important hard-hitting book, The IRS Exposed, as our thank you. This book documents how the power of the IRS has been abused to silence Christian and conservative voices. It's a national scandal that the mainstream media isn't telling you about. But you'll find the truth here in The IRS Exposed, as our thanks for your generous donation. Again, make sure to contact us for your petition to your leaders in Congress, calling upon them to protect churches by enacting the Houses of Worship Free Speech Restoration Act, and return it to us right away. And receive a copy of The IRS Exposed as our thanks when you give a generous donation. Simply write to us at Box 6084, Albert Lea, Minnesota 56007, or call toll free 877-962-7677, or go online at djameskennedy.org.
As recently as 2008, Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton ran against each other for president, both claiming to believe the long-held notion that marriage is the sacred union of one man and one woman. Now, in 2016, not only has such a view gone out of vogue among the so-called elite classes, but it is said to be downright hateful and intolerant. Of course, traditional marriage is the biblical position and is upheld by thousands of years of human history. And yet, if you dare adhere to the view that President Obama held as recently as 4 years ago, you are an intolerant, bullying bigot. The idea is silly on the face of it, and yet no small amount of effort is being expended to enforce that notion, and to do so with stiff fines and jail sentences. In reality, however, this is merely victory by intimidation. Are we to believe that over 100 million Americans who believed in traditional marriage suddenly switched their viewpoint overnight, as President Obama did? Or is it more likely that a false consensus is being portrayed in the media and backed up with brute force in order to intimidate you into compliance? Perhaps the greatest indictment of the American church in modern decades is how easily it has been shamed into virtual silence. A societal change this momentous does not occur without major capitulation on the part of Christians whose incorrect theology has taught them to retreat in the name of spirituality. The apostles and the early church leaders often paid for their beliefs with their lives. It's time for Christians in this era to stand and be counted among those who will defend the truth. I'm Frank Wright. Thanks for joining us on Truths That Transform. We'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
Liberty is somewhat like the air we breathe. It is everywhere. We take it for granted until we lose it.
The ACLU is not the protector of Americans' civil liberties. Veterans are. Veterans protected America's freedom.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.